Hi, this is Eli Nelson, and this is the My City Church Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. It is our prayer that this message will awaken you to come alive in the things of Christ. Enjoy the message.
Each and every week, come prepared. We're going to open up our Bibles to the Word of God. How many of y'all ready for the Word of God this morning? Let me see your Bible lifted up in the air. Let me see it. Say, this is my Bible. Come on, God speaks through the Word of God. Open up your Bibles to Matthew, the book of Matthew we're reading out today. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. We're going to have a lot of scripture verses today. This is going to be a great message to write down some notes. You can go back and read through them. If you have been seated, I'm going to ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of the Lord. Just five short verses we're going to be reading today. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 says this, the Word of the Lord. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He thinks he got him. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't have it in there, but everyone went, oh! Love your neighbor as yourself is just like it. Today I'm talking to you about love is built to last. If you're writing down notes today, love is built to last. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Would you speak through your servant today? We thank you for your church. We thank you for the house of the Lord. We thank you for your mercies are new each morning. So won't you reveal to us who you are? We come to you, maker of heaven and earth, looking to receive from you this morning. And right now, if you're hungry for the Lord to speak to you, would you open up your hands and say these words after me? Say, Heavenly Father, speak to me. I'm listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the word of the Lord this morning. You may be seated today. I'm going to go through this almost exactly how I felt like the Lord revealed it to me. The Bible says to love the Lord your God. Yes, right? Everyone would agree with that. Show of hands, yes, love the Lord your God. Yeah, yeah. But the second is equally important. Yeah, love the Lord your God. You need to know today will be also expressed in your love for people. That you cannot love God without loving people. And if you love people, it can reflect your love for God. He says it's equally important. Now, what is this love? What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Hey. What is this love? Because you can love your mom and you can also love Taco Bell. And the reason why there's confusion here is because we confuse the word love with like. You like Taco Bell, said no one ever. Oh, those would be fighting words. Hey, there's several meanings to this word love in our English language, but in the Greek, you need to know that this word love is many times reflected as this word agape. Agape. Now, there's several different types of love, just like there's different types of love in our English language. You could say, I love you, bro, but it's not the same love that you would have for a spouse, or might not be the same love that you have for a child. Just like there's different meanings in our English language, there's different meanings in the Greek. And this agape is this type of love that's unconditional, sacrificial love, which begins with a decision. Say decision. That is beyond feeling. It is a decision. Say decision. That is beyond feeling. Agape love. It's a biblical love with a decision. Worldly love starts with an emotion. Biblical love starts with a decision. Biblical love does not rest upon emotion. That is why God can call you to love your enemies. Because to love your enemies means that you will not feel like doing so. Write this down today. Love is a decision, not a like. It's a decision, not a like. Love is a decision. That's why it can be commanded. This is the greatest commandment, which means love is commandable. Love is commandable because command is a decision that you personally can make. Love is decided. What are you deciding in biblical love is to benefit someone else because of a need that they may have. You're making a decision to exemplify selflessness and execute compassion because of someone else's need. An example being there's a need. Now you're going to be compassionate about it. Therefore, you make a decision. Once the decision is made and action is taken, love is expressed, even if no feeling is attached to it. Now, we want feeling because we want to like what we love, of course, but it is true that we can also love what we don't like. That's why when a spouse says that I don't love my husband anymore, what they are really saying, that they don't like their husband anymore. When a husband says that they don't love their wife anymore, what they are really saying is that they don't like their spouse anymore, because love is a decision. Say decision. It's a choice, and love can be commanded. To know what really love really is, though, we must know the author of love, not the world's definition of love. The world has its own definition, but I can tell you the reason why the world is asking what is love is because it doesn't know the author of love. First John chapter 4, verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his son, his one and only son, into the world that we might live through him. Say, through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. See, we know God's love and who he is because of what he has done. The world does not operate in this biblical love because it does not know God. My question to our church today is, do we really know what love is and what it means to love someone? Do we really know what love is and what it means to love someone? Any definition that you have regarding what love is, if you have learned it from culture, it is wrong. This level of love that God has for us is what God is calling us also to have for the people of this earth, to have for our brothers and our sisters. It's an unconditional, sacrificial love that is not reciprocated. It is laying one's life down for the sake of someone else. That is what it means to reflect Christ. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is the word of God. It penetrates to our innermost being. In other words, love is not just what we say. Love is what we do. We're called not only to talk about the love of God, but to reflect the love of God. We are called to be conduits of God's love because God has shown his love to us. Now we are able to show God's love to others. And this is how we love, because Christ first loved us. Going back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. Get that. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. No one has ever seen God. But can I tell you that we can show God to the world by how we show our love to one another? We are God's handiwork, created for this work, to represent him and to reflect him in Jesus' name. Ephesians 2, 8, verse 8 through 10 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Say good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God is saying, I saved you in verses 8 and 9 so that you could do these good works in verse 10. I saved you so that you can do something. We buy a lot of things in life, and we have this expectation for them to function for the purpose that we bought them. Think about it. You bought an oven to make things hot. You bought a car to get you places. You bought a house to receive shelter. And you have been bought by God to reflect him. If you are sitting here today as a follower of Jesus and you don't understand why you are here, can I tell you today that you were bought with a price to honor him? Yes, and also to represent him. God is love, and we are to represent that in this world. Why are we here? to demonstrate God's love through us. To not only get to heaven, yes, that's one thing, but to be here on earth to reflect him, to love people even when you can't get anything in return. You should love your enemies. Yes, this isn't just what Jesus said. This is how he lived. Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. As Christians, we must all understand why we are here. And the truth is, write this down today, that we are here to be him in this world. We are here to be him in this world. He's looking for people to represent him. Will he find them here? Yes, he will. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Can I tell you that sinners can do good things? That even atheists can do good things? Even people of other religions can do good things? A person who hates God can do a good thing, but that's not a good work. Can I tell you, a good work in the Bible is a good thing in which you attach God to it. Attaching God to this thing for the sake of God. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Who's going to get the glory for it? Those who do good things can't do good things without God, but they do them to represent the good side of humanity and do not give credit to the goodness of God. In other words, they take credit for what God has commanded, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love as a follower of Christ is not negotiable. It is a command. Love is not a gift. Love is a fruit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 says, this is talking about the church now. So your brother and sister, your brother from another mother, your sister from another mister. He's talking about the body of Christ. He says, so that there be no division among you in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers. Then, so he categorizes it, one, two, three. And then he just says then, which means that these other ones are kind of equal in importance. He says, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire these greater gifts, he says. But then he says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. I feel as a church sometimes we can get hungry for the gifts of God to flow through us, that we never actually have the prerequisite, which is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say fruits. Okay, so now he's talking about something else. He's saying, I will show you the most excellent way. He's saying, don't get hungry for all these gifts. Yes, desire the gifts, but I'm going to show you the foundation of these gifts. Chapter 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, if I am a Pentecostal, but I don't have love, I'm just a clanging gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I'm a charismatic and I have faith that can move mountains, I have the word of faith moving, I believe that things can happen in a moment. And then if I believe, sorry, I lost my place here. Oh, I'm in chapter 12, right? If I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, if I'm a Methodist, if I'm a Baptist, if I'm a Presbyterian, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now get this today. This is the word of the Lord here. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I'm going to ask the team to leave that verse up there. It keeps no records of wrongs, meaning that it doesn't hold it against them. Do you have things in your life that you're holding against other believers? other people, especially in the body of Christ, here's how you can tell. Do you avoid them? Do you find yourself seeing them and kind of inwardly shudder? Do you kind of walk a different direction because maybe you did something in their world? I found this happen the other day. I told a congregant in our church that I was going to do some mirrors for him on the side. And I found myself last week, I forgot to text him back. And I saw him and I'm like, I forgot to text him back. But then I overcame that. I said, you know what? This is ridiculous. It was an accident and I forgot to text him back. So you know what I did? I found him in the hallway, which I saw him in the hallway. I didn't avoid him in the hallway. And I just had a quick conversation. Can I tell you, if you feel things in your life that are causing you to avoid other people, you are not operating in love. To be able to confront things in your life that could possibly cause division, even if it was an accident, to be able to own up for the mistake that you made, that is what love is. Now, can I tell you, it's not necessarily the offense that is the problem, but actually the avoidance of the offense is what will eventually create a wall in your relationships with one another. Can I, as we go around, it says that, I want to keep that verse up there because I'm going right back to it. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. A lot of us are trying to get our point across in our conversations, but I just want to introduce this phrase to you that we've been introducing to our church as of recent. It's called curiosity. It's the point that I care enough about someone to be curious about where they're coming from. Because a lot of us have our view and we assume a lot of where someone is at and where they're coming from. But if you just took a moment to ask some questions, if you just took a moment to understand, can I tell you that the Holy Spirit would allow you to answer appropriately? The reason why you don't get anywhere in your conversations or let's say your arguments is because you never sought to see where the other person was coming from. And since you never sought where the other person was coming from, you could not appropriately answer the question in the way that God could lead them to the right solution, to repentance, to correction. So for the most part, you should not seek to get your point across. It is not self-seeking, but you should seek to understand. You should learn to listen. As you listen, you will hear what God wants you to respond to. Because you may address a problem that you're seeing in someone's life, not knowing that the problem is actually a fruit of a much deeper root. I've had some opportunities to catch up with some old friends in the past, and I can't help but hear some things that they share and about all these things that they're doing in their life and this business venture and that business venture and this opportunity and that opportunity. And part of me wanted to just be like, man, if you would just do like one of those with your whole heart and not keep changing different occupations, like you might actually get some traction in your life. Like if this person would just remain resolute and just make up their mind rather than sharing all these new things. Every time I talk to them, they have something new that they're doing. And I'm like, okay, yeah, they just need to stay put. And for a moment, the Holy Spirit's like, are you operating in love in that? And this is what love does. Love asks questions. Love tries to find out, why are they sharing that with me? Maybe they look to me as a father figure in their life and they're just looking for someone to be able to celebrate them and what they're stepping out into. Maybe. Maybe there's something much deeper and they're not happy with their own life. So they need to be able to share all these things that are going on because to face the reality for what it is would bring disappointment. If I just took a moment to actually listen to the heart behind the words, I could prophetically speak into someone's life through the power of the Holy Spirit and demonstrate what this love is. To be able to answer appropriately, I have to listen appropriately. This is what love is. Now, a lot of us are just going around trying to make this love happen. Okay, Pastor Eli is saying, and is that still up there? Love. Okay, so love is patient. Got to be more patient. Love is kind. I got to be more kind. It does not envy. Oh, man. It does not boast. Not everything you see on social media is people boasting. Maybe they're just happy to be on vacation, right? And you can celebrate with them, not be envious of them. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others, both to their face and behind their back. It's not self-seeking. So what? Rather than going around just looking at, hey, I want to see what I can get from other people, see what you can give. That's the best way to get in some of the circles that you're trying to get into. You want to be able to reach new business owners or different type of influential people. See what you can add to their life, not what you can take, not what they can give you, but what you can contribute to. You want to learn how to have a conversation with someone that you really look up to? Just ask for a moment, how can I add value to their life? And you'll find right there, you'll be able to strike a conversation. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And if we continue, it says, love never fails. So you may be thinking, I got to do more. Well, you're looking at it wrong. Can I tell you that love is not a gift? We talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Love is not a gift. Love is a fruit. It says in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. You want to know how to get the fruit of the Spirit? You got to plant a seed. And as that seed grows, fruit is produced by the DNA within the seed. The soil, the water, they all help. Now notice that it says the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruits. It's not plural. It's singular, which means that they are all being developed at once, at the same time. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not, well, I'm really doing well in joy today, but I got no love. I think that you're striving. You're trying to work to get more fruit of the Holy Spirit when all of them come together. Right before that, it talks about the works of the flesh. In Galatians 19, let's go through that. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then let's go back to 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. The fruit, they all come together. The fruit of the Holy Spirit comes when you remain connected to the vine. Fruit, which means the Holy Spirit is working in your life to contradict or counteract those things of the flesh. It's fruit, not flesh. If you have to work on it, it's flesh. You do not see Jesus telling his disciples to come and work on their character. He tells his disciples, come and follow me. Are you remaining in him? As you remain in him, can I tell you? You will bear fruit. If you see these other unfruitfulness and these acts of the flesh coming up in your life, fits of rage, anger, jealousy, whatever that may be for you, to be able to take a moment and take self-inventory. Am I remaining in him? Because as you remain in him, the fruits are inevitable and they all come at once. Let's stand to our feet this morning. One of my kids loves to eat apples. One of my kids, I only got one boy and I said, Winston loves apples. The thing about an apple is it's something that you ingest. You ever heard the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? But this is an apple too. You can't eat this. Can you eat this? You could try. That's a gift. If it wasn't fragile, like all Apple devices are, I would have tossed it on the ground just to be like, you can't eat this. You experience it. There's some things that you experience and some things you need to ingest. As you ingest, it gives nutrients to your body and activates certain cells, and it brings healing to certain cells depending on what you eat. And sometimes you need to take time because what you eat today reflects in your body sometimes tomorrow, sometimes next week, depending on your age, sometimes in the next hour, right? Sometimes in the next year, if you keep eating like crap, eventually you're going to feel. What I'm saying is, what are you partaking in today? To be able to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love being one of them. Well, love is patient. Love is kind. I need to work on being more kind. Maybe, but what I know about the Holy Spirit is, as you spend time with him, all of those fruits at the same time start to come into your life. Now, there's some work that we do. We are saved for good works. We do represent Jesus through these works, but we cannot represent him without taking him in first. So I want to encourage you today, especially this week, let's be a type of people that are in his presence. Let's be a type of people that are in his word. Let's be a type of people that are in prayer. I'm not talking about fulfilling a task. I got to get my 30 minutes of prayer in or my 15 minutes of Bible reading in. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about following him. If you find yourself saying, I just need to be more patient, no. Think about, Lord, help me to be closer to you. And as you walk with the Holy Spirit, I believe that he will transform you to represent him well on earth. Amen? Amen. Church, can I pray for you this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church. I thank you for your people. God, I pray that you would help us represent you well, that we would show the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our life, that we'd be representatives of your kingdom well, that we'd be people that exuberate love, that we show the love of Christ in our lives. Lord, where there's anger or frustration, fits of rage and things of that sort, maybe we have jealousy, envy, strife, contention. Lord, right now we lay it at your feet. Just like King David said, search our hearts, Lord. Let us know. We want to eagerly follow the way of love. We don't want to follow the ways of this world, but we want to represent you well. So we pray right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would give us that strength to do just that. That you would give us that strength to represent Jesus well. Lord, right now we repent from any wrongdoing and things where we haven't continued to follow you. Lord, we pray that our daily sacrifice would be picking up our cross and following you. To be like you, Jesus, is our heart's desire. To represent Jesus and to follow him, that we may awaken this city to come alive in Christ. Lord, help us. Help us to live more like Jesus. Come on, church. We can lift up our hands this morning.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If this message encouraged you, help us get the word out. Consider sharing it with a friend, rating, or subscribing. If you want to know more about our church, check out our website at mycitychurch.cc or our Instagram at mycitycentral. We look forward to sharing another encouraging word with you next week. God bless.